7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
Well, we'll talk about DVRs and the evil that they have brought upon us. Not really. And I talk about some social media folks and how the people that have been taking aim at me strangely are aligning themselves with my position. It's awesome the way people do that. And maybe a little hot love boat talk.
Well, first I'll tell you about LifeLock. Tax season is scary enough. Now the IRS is warning about ghost tax preparers who don't sign as the paid preparer and could be a red flag. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. Right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, get on the chest, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling friends. We love that about you. Dr. Drew's board-certified physician. He's addiction with a specialist. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, man, I got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an interesting turn of phrase on Twitter, and I grabbed onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been in some crap storms lately, and they're mm-hmm. always in social media, and they're always, I mean, lies and damn lies and bizarre distortions and just beyond, so far from the truth or where the story begins.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this term that I thought just really captured what happens in the creation of fake news, laundering stories. Social mm-hmm. media launders the stories. I thought, ooh, that is exactly what they do. They churn them through, launder them. And much like when you launder money, it sort of disappears and changes into something else. And I thought, yeah, that's what social media does. It launders stories. And then the so-called legitimate media responds to these laundered stories as though they're accurate. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's the digital version of, you know, the woman in the village saying this guy from another village came up and pushed me for no reason. You know what I mean? But that's not really what happened. Maybe she was trying to steal some of the apples off of his cart or something.
Yeah.
I kind of leave that part out. And then people run with the story, and then eventually the story just becomes the story.
But it has a very particular sort of, I think one day we'll be able to sort of predict where it goes. You know what I mean? It always goes to he or she is sexist, racist, misogynist. You know, there's some sort of, it has that directionality to it always. Somehow it's going to be formed into,
because well, that's where I'll give you a weird example. But when you write a book, as you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a celebrated author.
Celebrated.
Well, I celebrate me.
Yeah, I know that.
And I make
Matt. You don't like to talk about it. You do not like to talk about it. I know.
We have celebrations about my authorship.
With your family, especially.
Oh, my dad can't. You go to his house, it's just a shrine to my literature. They're all up there. What he'll do oftentimes, my dad, in his bookshelf that always sits behind him when I talk to him, none of my five books represented, but what he'll do is he'll ask for an advance cover of the copy. You know, he'll want the cover, and he'll want an advance copy of the cover, I should say. And I'll say, but Dad, but Papa, the book's not coming out for 4 months. And he'll go, I just want the cover. I'm going to wrap it around one of my books and put it up on the shelf just so it's represented. So that's a little embarrassing, but it happens.
Yeah, I mean, he is proud. What are you going to do? He's excited about what you're doing.
He's proud and he's a reader. So
Can't stop. Can't stop talking about it.
Now, what you do when you write a book is you start laying out the chapters. Here's this subject and here's that subject, you know? And then at some point, you come up with something funny or something interesting or whatever, and you have to push it into a chapter. You have to kind of make it work in your format, you know?
Yeah.
So somebody gets shot or somebody gets run over or there's a cop interaction or there's a something, anything. Mm-hmm. It could be climate. It doesn't really matter. It could be kind of esoteric shit. It could be COVID. But there's no COVID chapter. There's only a race chapter. There's a diversity chapter. There's an inequity chapter.
No, there's a COVID. There's COVID chapter. You're a denier.
Oh, well, there's a denier. But this isn't falling into the denier chapter. So we're going to push it into the COVID racial chapter, you know.
Yeah.
A story happens, and then we have to figure out which slot to put it in. Now, you and I would say, well, sometimes the story doesn't fit a slot. Sometimes it's nothing. Or sometimes it's something, but it doesn't fit a theme that you've created. And their thing is it's like a box you must check. You know, it's a...
Are you talking about, when you say them, are you talking about people on social media or are you talking about journalists?
Journalists, social media, whoever. They just go, because it has to fit into a category.
But with the social media mobs... They're like runners at the blocks, you know. Mm-hmm. They want something to go. They want a gun to go off that makes them run, even though it might be a seagull squawking. It has nothing to do with anything. They want to start going this one direction all the time. And once they go, it launders, it spins, it has its own momentum to it. It's so satisfying to them, right? Mm-hmm.
There was
disgusting.
There was a story out of UCLA, I think, where they did some sort of online forum about race, and a lot of people of color complained about the automatic soap dispensers in the bathroom being racist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I guess they were saying it couldn't read their skin color, even though it's a movement thing. It's not about reading the tone of your skin. It's about movement underneath the thing that enacts it to go. It's like saying your garage door. If you ever start closing your garage door and you try to walk out your garage door and you trip that beam and it starts opening again, it's like saying it couldn't read my jeans, but it could have read someone else's blue jeans or something. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
That was the thing. That would be an example of probably taking a story and trying to shoehorn it into a category, or even taking a non-story. Students share campus tale that soap dispensers are racist.
Is that LA Times?
We're on the Washington Examiner, but I'm sure that there are multiple versions of this.
Right. And then another one that said, when a black or brown person is forced to turn their palms up, that's the light part of their skin, and that's some form of racism as well. Again, for me, it always is good news because it just means there's no racism. If we're down to soap dispensers, you know what I mean? That's a good sign. That's a out of problems kind of situation for us. But yeah, that's a pretty good example of how easy or how invested we are in shoving something into a pre-existing category.
Did you see that Project Veritas has now sued the New York Times? And the New York Times admitted that the thing that the Project Veritas was suing for was opinion, that they feel at their liberty to inject opinion into story without identifying it wherever they wish. That was a tell, man. I was like, ooh. They're admitting it in a lawsuit. Wow.
Well, a lot of stories now in newspapers feel when you when you hear them read out loud, they just feel like op-eds, but they're not op-eds. They're under
they're not supposed to be, right?
No, but, what I'm saying is there's a lot of things that fall under the heading of news that sound 10 years ago would have sounded exactly like an op-ed.
Oh, like a you know, like not even an op-ed. You would expect to have seen it in like a, you know, a free press kind of situation. But speaking of op-ed, my daughter saw all the lies that I was being subjected to by the LA Times. And by the way, thank you for having Dawson read all that to me. It was very, very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. People liked it. Mm-hmm. She's like, you have to write an op-ed. You have to. So she gave me a series of interrogatory of questions in response to some of the allegations and these things. And I responded to them. And then she wrote an op-ed. And I said, yeah, A, they'll never publish this. B, many of the things we're saying here are radioactive because you're not allowed to say that people on the streets have mental illness or that they need help or that they need placement or that they need something more than this vague term wraparound services. And she was in disbelief. She couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the things, one of the good things that's coming out of not just COVID for me, but the shitstorms I've been subjected to is my children have watched them happen in real time. And it has been a serious education for them.
Yeah.
In terms of what is in the press, how little of it is truth or factual, and how fake news is created and how they launder stories until they turn into something egregiously egregious lies. It just flat out egregious lies. I remember the conclusion of what Dawson read just before I left ACS that day was that I'm anti-immigrant. You see that? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I called the reporter. I go, you were disgusting. You were disgusting. What is the matter with you? I'm immigrant. I'm a second generation immigrant from Ukraine. You were disgusting. No one ever calls them out. New policy, everybody. Find the people who do these things to you wherever they are and get them on the phone. They either won't come because they're cowards, or if they do come, they'll backpedal like crazy rather than stand up for as though they're just and right in what they've done, because they know they're not. They know they're not. And you've got to push back.
You know, it's funny.
I told my son when he gets past the bar this summer, I'm going to put him to work full time in libel suits. Full time. That's it. That's his job.
No money. Well, you know, it's interesting.
It's Garagos pays the salary. Don't worry.
We're living in this time. This stuff sounds yucky to me. Like
what? What stuff?
I'm going to write an article. I'm going to call this person a racist at the end of it.
Oh,
it feels weird. Like, yes. You know, there's things.
It's disgusting. Yucky is the feeling is disgust. You want to talk about feelings?
Yeah, but
that's the feeling.
What I'm saying is like sometimes you hear about cultures, you know, and they go, what do they do for dinner? Well, they all gather around and they sit on the floor and they eat the food, but they do it with their hands. Mm-hmm. And I go, nah. I want to sit at a table with a fork. And they go, have you ever tried it? And I just go like, nah, I just wouldn't do that. Like, I just wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
It just feels weird. Like, do we have forks? Do we have tables? I feel the same way about calling everyone a racist. I just feel like it's like, ugh, like, really? Yeah. How old are you? How old was this woman? You know what I mean? Like, are you educated? How old are you? Where did you grow up? Do you know Dr. Drew? Where's this come from?
Right. And my point was she just reported some random activist's point of view and didn't come back to me and go, is this true or any of this? Or what about your credentials? Or here's what they're saying. No follow through.
Well,
nothing.
They can't because these people are midgets intellectually because they can't make their own point on the merits of the points that they're trying to make. What they do is they somehow graft on or weave in racism. Even when you're talking about a doctor talking about the homeless problem, they get back to racism and somehow they look at that as a way to make their point. They think that's checkmate. That does not make you a grand champion in chess. That is you knocking over the pieces and walking away with your fucking hands above your head. So just be a little more intellectually honest. And how about you get more skilled at your job? How about you make a compelling case as to why Dr. Drew shouldn't be on the homeless council without going to the cheap sort of Trump card of racism that you keep in your fucking sock that you pull out every time because you're not capable of winning the argument. How about
this,
that?
This wasn't racism. This was essentially the same thing per the argument about homelessness where you want to criminalize. Criminalize them. No, I don't. Did you ask me if I want to do that?
I know.
Bitch.
You call yourself a journalist. That's the question. Yeah. All right, let me tell you about the Air Medcare Network. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with the substantial copays and deductibles. Planning ahead is essential. In an emergency, Air Medcare Network, highly trained crews, they have a network of crews, and they will provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. With an Air Medcare Network membership, you have no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight. And AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. Join AMCN and secure your financial peace of mind. As a listener, you can get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/ADS and use the offer code ADS. All right, let's see.
Hey, let me just say, you're asking, you know, why can't we get them to, you know, ask better questions? Here's what we all need to do. Stop listening. Stop buying the papers. That's it. Don't click. Don't buy the papers.
I would never. If I heard there's an article in the Los Angeles Times about anything. I would never think anything about it. Or I would look at it and then go, all right, let's go get the real story.
Right. And that is where they have taken themselves. But by the way, they're not alone.
No,
they're not alone.
They're not alone. And we don't know what's in it for them. I cannot imagine that this is a great long-term business plan, but here we are. All right. Carlos has something to say about TiVo. Carlos, 50, Georgia.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, guy.
Hey, you know, the TiVo and the DVR in general, along with nuclear weapons, are inventions I wish I could just roll back. You know, I love skipping commercials, but here's the deal. I'm watching The Love Boat or anything with my wife.
Yeah, you are.
I see the thing, there's like 5 minutes left. It takes an hour to get through those 5 minutes because every time she has something to say, something pops in her mind, she feels like sharing, she pauses it, shares, we watch it for 30 seconds, and then she comes up with something else. I would prefer just, you know, block all that time off with commercials. You mute the commercials. You have your long conversations there. And then you get back to the show. You still watch it within the hour, and you're done.
Yeah,
this is not a TiVo. This is not a TiVo problem.
I'm in your wife's camp squarely. I stop every 20 seconds and break down the game film. I rewind. It could take me 7 to 12 hours to watch a Love Boat episode. And I don't even forward through the commercials because I want to see what the commercials are. I want to know where we're heading.
What's going on?
I study the commercials, too.
Yeah.
So you and I, Carlos, would not make a great tag team. Did you watch the latest Love Boat, Drew?
Oh, I was going to save that for the next show, but yes, I did. I didn't. Here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
So that one really for me was the stories were so flimsy and so cartoonish and so pathetic. That was how I remembered Love Boat. Mm-hmm. In other words, to me, mm-hmm. when I, you know, we've been watching and studying it in recent months, and there's been a little more there than I remember there being. But this one was a paradigm. This one was, there's nothing here. It is It is just bizarre cartoon, nonsensical stuff. I was there any plot line that sort of stood out for you that made even sense?
I love how they portray single women. That's always my thing. And I love the plot line of the guy who went to fat camp and lost all the weight, right?
Yes.
Then he showed up. Now, he's not a hunk. He's just a guy who used to be 300 pounds, and now he's 200 pounds, right?
Yes, he's still pudgy.
I'm not going to call him pudgy. He's just a regular. He's just a regular dude.
Yeah.
He's now essentially a middle-aged dude.
Yeah.
Okay. He shows up, and the hot blonde and the hot brunette immediately cling on to him.
Yes.
Because
come visit him at his room. Come on, let's go.
They're literally circling around him. Now
they know he's got somebody's there. He's there with
the blonde is spectacular looking, right? I mean, she's
especially for that age.
She's 80s hot. Very hot. Yeah. Now she could have had anybody on that boat.
Yeah,
but she chose the guy who used to be fat, who's there with Vicky Lawrence.
Well, because he can dance.
And she's like taunting, like she's showing up at the lounge chair going, "Hey Steve, you ready to go for a jog?" And Vicky Lawrence is like, "Oh, I'm so tired from last night." Don't worry, quiet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, that's this guy. We got it. She's going, "Don't worry, I'll take good care of him." Yeah. Ta-ta, like weird sort of overtly aggressive, hostile on the dance floor, trying to monopolize him on the dance floor, coming down to his room. Come on, come back up and party with us.
Right.
And by the way, his reaction to it, you could only imagine with your wife, is like, "Hey, baby, you're tired. You know, they just want to have some fun." Like, how would that go over?
Well, first of all, there would be nuclear fusion of some type. I mean, it would be something unspeakable, the reaction. But for the entire arc of the 1 hour of television, he at no point acknowledges that this might be a little bit disturbing to his partner. At no point.
No point.
He's just, what? It's just fun. Hey, these people like me now. I dance with them.
He's basically saying, "I'm going on a 3-day cruise. There's a piping hot blonde and a piping hot brunette who are 16 years younger than me. And they want to monopolize this entire cruise with dancing and jogging and exercise and activities. And even to the point where they'll come to my room at midnight and try to entice me to come out and drink.
And all
with
of
them.
It when you're he's with his partner.
In front of the partner saying, what's up?"
Yeah. And him like, "Come on, you don't mind, do you? No, it's no big deal." So that to me was back to the cartoon stuff. And I couldn't even.
I
couldn't even. But and then of course the captain's daughter gets corrupted. It was sort of bizarre. Well, it bordered on sexual misconduct. You know what I mean? it was very weird. Some 50-year-old dude sweeps her off her feet and takes her gambling.
Well, that's the uncle.
Is it uncle? But it was unclear. Once he identified as the uncle, it was not clear he was behaving like an uncle. You understand?
He was 60, and I didn't read the sexual component.
Just weird. It was just weird that he's dragging a 12-year-old into the casino on the ship and on shore to the horse race and stuff in Mexico. And Captain Steuben's like, "All right, have a nice time." I was like, "What? Come on, everybody." So that was bizarre. And what was that actor from, by the way? He looks so familiar. Garrett, what was his name? Barry something?
Oh, God. Yeah, he looked familiar.
So familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I made the mistake of not looking that up.
Drew.
Yeah, you're my mistake.
Doing your homework.
I know. And then what was the third storyline? The other one? Oh, the other one was a full cartoon, full Keystone Cop cartoon. With Kay Ballard and another aging actor, where they were gonna hoist cash out of the safe of the ship, which they eventually do, and then they have to give it back because they don't want to be on the quote on the lam when they have to hit land again.
Yeah,
And it was the only time I'd seen them do anything about aging, though. I thought that was kind of interesting because Kay Ballard had lost her edge, you know, according to the...
Couldn't pick up the sailor.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting as I was watching that trilogy that there's this old character actor, and I did go look him up, and he died about 8 years later. It's kind of funny. You see these guys on the Love Boat, and you realize, you know, less than a decade later, they're dead, but... He was an old character actor who popped up in many things, and people would recognize him. And when you see him and his mannerisms and the way he sounds, and just sort of the way he looks, and you take a look at an Adam Sandler character, like Bobby Boucher or something, he is doing that guy. And I got to find...
Interesting.
Maybe, Gary. I'm trying to think. I can't think of the name of the episode. I guess we should load ourselves with that to give to Gary. It was the last one, but they don't do it online in order, I guess, according to Gary. So I can't... It was Steubing's daughter...
Gambling.
Turns into a gambler.
Yeah.
And one of the... passengers lost his weight at Fat Camp.
I got it here. You want me to just read off?
Caper.
You want me to read off the names of the guest stars?
You got to show me the guy. I don't think we're going to recognize his name, but when you see this guy, you'll see like Bobby Boucher.
Yeah.
You will see Adam Sandler doing this guy. He's the oldest guy in that episode. Let me tell you first about Tommy John. You're not still counting on mom to buy you underwear anymore, are you? In honor of Mother's Day, get yourself a fresh pair of Tommy John. Oh, this stuff. I'm wearing mine right now. Dozens of comfort innovations, breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have hundreds and thousands of fanatics. That's what they have. I'm one of them. Over 13 million pairs sold. It is just... You won't go back to what you're formerly wearing. I don't know what else to say about Tommy John. Not sure what to get mom in your life? Well, Tommy John, dreamily soft loungewear, which is excellent, is where the problem with the loungewear is you want to wear it outside. You just get so comfortable in it inside. No risk, by the way. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. Right, Matt?
Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/ADS. That's 20% off Tommy John underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/ADS. TommyJohn.com/ADS. See site for details.
You know, I'm looking through the list of all the Loveline episodes, and we're missing stuff. It's like we got to go back on to Pluto and fish around in some of those, because those are not showing up on MeTV, I don't think.
All right. I mean? All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the answer for the prototype to Adam Sandler right after this. All right. Back with some hot Love Boat talk. Do you have that actor's name, Gary?
I do. There's two gentlemen I'm debating about, but well, you do not
oldest,
remember.
The oldest one.
Well, that goes against your earlier note that said that he died about 10 years ago.
Well, that doesn't matter. No, I didn't say he died 10 years ago. I said he died 8 years after he filmed The Love Boat. Yeah, that's him.
Jack Gilford.
There he is.
Jack Gilford. Now, Matt was right. Now, if you have some footage of like old Jack Gilford, like talking or doing his shtick, you're going to see Adam Sandler doing his shtick. And Jack Gilford's probably vaudevillian guy. He was around it for looks a million vaudevillian. Years, right?
Yeah, it looks very vaudevillian, all that stuff. But that's what you've pointed out to me is what Love Boat's made up of. Is vaudevillian storylines.
Well,
crazy.
The entire bank caper thing was 100% vaudeville. These are vaudevillian bits. That's all. All right, I'll let Gary see if he can find that.
So far, I found a few commercials. Would that suffice?
Yeah, if he's older, though, he's probably younger. Let's see a commercial if we can find one where he's a little bit older.
Give me some time to make sure I can get an older one.
All right, let's see. Sean has been inspired by Dr. Drew to get a phase 3 COVID trial going. Yes, Sean?
Ooh.
Hey, Adam, Dr. Drew, how are you guys?
Hi, Guy.
Hi. What? I got to do it right. Hi, Guy. Because I don't want to offend your frequent caller.
All right.
That's right.
Right.
And the other thing is it's very clear to me that Mrs. Dr. Drew would not have any problem with Dr. Drew getting ladies coming to his stateroom and taking him dancing, because he might be a sex machine, but nobody knows him like his lady.
Well, that's true. I could
give her a break. You mean? Huh, interesting. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Drew, I wanted to tell you that you inspired me to sign up to be on a phase 3 COVID vaccine trial.
Great.
I got my shot. They didn't tell me what it was. The very first week of December. And it's the Johnson & Johnson trial. Well, a couple weeks ago, middle of March, they called me up and said, hey, time to come in. We're going to tell you what you got. And if you got the placebo, we're going to give you the real thing.
Great.
So I came in, and guess what? I was the placebo. I was I was the control group. So they gave me the real thing. And now I'm vaccinated, I guess. And I didn't have any real side effects.
And you have pushed science forward. Good for you. Thank you for doing that. It's a big deal.
Thank you, well, hero.
He is a hero. I signed up all over the place. I couldn't get into it.
I don't mean it that facetiously.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean.
But honestly, I wouldn't even have volunteered had you not said, hey, I would do this. This is a good idea. Everybody should give this a shot. So I volunteered, honestly, simply because you said so, because I listened to you on the show.
Well, that's a big deal. Thank you very much. And thanks for doing it.
All right. We got that clip.
No, we're having computer problems here.
Okay.
I'm
looking over his IMDb, and it's kind of weird.
A clip from the Love Boat episode itself.
We're having connectivity issues right now.
I get it. Go ahead, Drew.
But I'm just looking at his IMDb, and it's weird how sort of not memorable, and yet how, you know what I mean? He's all over the place and just bit parts, bitch, crappy shows, but he is so identifiable. You know, he was in Cocoon, too. That was the other thing.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but, which Cocoon probably happened right about the same, a little after probably Love Boat.
I think quite a bit after, right? Wasn't Cocoon like, well, you know, it's, well,
remember,
it's weird.
He was dead 8 years later or something.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
Couldn't be that. 85. So
Cocoon was 85?
Yeah, he died in 90.
That is crazy. I would have put Cocoon like mid to late 90s.
I know. Feels like a newish movie, you know? We're getting old. All right. Well, hopefully for the next show, we'll have a clip of that. Drew, why don't you take care of your business over there?
All right. Our friends at LifeLock, tax season is scary enough, but now the IRS is warning about ghost tax preparers. They don't sign as the paid preparer. And this, of course, is a red flag. You need to know this and every other way that those of us are taken advantage of by cyber criminals. We always tell you cyber criminals, we're just looking for easy ways. And with the way we expose ourselves on the internet, there's plenty of opportunity. Every day we put ourselves at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals can harm your finances and credit. Good thing we've got LifeLock, because LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. Let's say your social security number is for sale on the dark web. If LifeLock detects your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert, and you will have access to dedicated restoration specialists. From LifeLock, right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right. And go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. I don't know if Appleton, Wisconsin is sold out yet, but it's going to, so maybe want to hop on that. I don't get out to Appleton that often, so this could be your chance. And our new Pluto TV channel is 687, and we'll have the chassis channel there. Lots of content there as well. Drew?
DrDrew.com. I've got everything there, and also DrDrew.tv if you want to catch up with our streaming shows. Also, check out TikTok if you don't mind. I'm trying to put some regular material together for TikTok. I think it's an interesting environment. It's just at DrDrew.
So, till next time, Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.